Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Leviticus, the first chapter, Leviticus chapter 1. But let us sing first from Psalter number 41, stanzas 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7. Most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray. His testimony is most sure, proclaiming wisdom's way. 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 41.
Congregation, let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Leviticus chapter 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar, that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar, lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savior unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the site of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. And he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, And the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savior unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar, wring off his head, burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the sight of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savior unto the Lord. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Harry DePuter, who was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of the earth, who hast created us and all things here below, and who yet upholdest them by the word of thy power, who still reignest over all things, and then thou knowest all the affliction that is suffered in this world on account of our own sin. Wherefore then should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. Oh, that thou may remember each and every one of us, that we may be given hearts that may understand that place from which we have come in our creation by thee, and that place to which we are traveling on account of our deep fall, our departure from thee. Lord, wilt thou fill us in this morning hour with a holy awe of thee, the Most High God. For then thou dealest not with us according to our many transgressions, even when we have to hear a news from the doctors that is telling us that we have to die. Lord, that thou may remember the friend that has received this news in this week. Oh, that thou may stand on her right and on her left. She knows not yet what is before her, but could it please thee to make it well, as thou alone art able, and to supply for them together as a family. But, O, may thou also bless this way for her, for them, for each of us, because that message that is not far away from the youngest or the oldest in our midst. Oh, show unto us then what our sin is, what we have brought upon ourselves, and wilt thou turn us again? Oh, that our hearts may be melted under thy long-suffering mercies, and that thou still sparest us yet another day, that thou givest us another Sabbath day, and that we may be privileged to enter into thy house, to bring and to hear thy word. Then, Lord, thou knowest each and every heart. We have been visited, the congregation by the consistory, in the year that is gone by, and now that comes to a close. And, Lord, then they have been searching here and there among the people. Then they have been asking, where is now the fruit of all the labors that have been performed, Sabbath after Sabbath day? And also in the catechism, in the confession classes, in the school. And, Lord, then what have they heard? Oh, Lord, what can we say to thee? Where is now the fruit upon all the labors of our hands in the midst of this our flock, over whom thou hast placed us, but also to whom thou hast sent us, that we may bring thy word? Oh, will it be, Lord, only for a savor of death unto death? But we may now read in thy word of those that have gone fishing all the night, and in that dark night they have caught nothing. But thou didst say yet again, cast forth into the deep. And then thy servant did say, I will let down the net at thy word. And then, Lord, what a surprise. Christ, that one time, and then to fill both the ships so that they were ready to sink. Lord, we beseech thee. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though we have heard so little, oh, we beseech thee that thou wouldst bless thy word, and when we may try to let down the net once again, that there may yet be a great draught. Thou hast the power. Thou hast shown thy power over death, hell, and the grave, wherein we are sunk in our deep fall. And thou in one moment can raise us from the dead. And we can only beseech it of thee, that thou would do it for thy name's sake amongst young and old, that thou may look upon the whole congregation when we go careless over this world, when we go on with so much vanity, all living in our hearts, in the service of the world, with a religion, and with a black suit, but Lord, with a heart that has no need for thee, no desire for thee, convert us, Lord, convert us. As thou alone art able, bless us this day, and all thy servants and all those that read thy word. Also our brother elder in Calvary in this day, and all thy servants over the length and breadth of the world, give thy kingdom to come, that thy will may be done, and that many may be brought in to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in thy kingdom. Wilt thou give the children, the young people, also attentive hearts, do supply for those that cannot be with us? Wilt thou remember them in their places and in the condition wherein they are? For thou knowest each one. Be with those that are sick, and be with those that are lonely. Be with those that mourn. Supply for the needs of the mind. Remember those that suffer from addictions and all that are about them and all the handicapped and all the needy in this world. And wilt thou then look on us together in all our needs? Give thy word free course in this morning hour. Instruct us therein. And wilt thou keep us from ourselves for Jesus' sake? Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more, to see thy glorious grace. And what follows, we announce that the Good Friday service in the coming weeks will be, the Lord willing, in the morning at 10 o'clock a.m., not in the evening, as is stated in the bulletin. The last collection today is for the disaster fund. Psalter 163, all stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Leviticus 1, and thereof the second part of the ninth verse. Leviticus 1, verse 9b, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. So far, the words of our text, which is about the whole burnt offering. First, we want to consider the significance of the whole burnt offering. And second, the antitype of this whole burnt offering. And then after we sing to close with a few words of application. The whole burnt offering, first, the significance, and second, the antitype of this offering. We have heard, congregation, about sin. How great is sin? How many aspects are there to sin? We have heard about the guilt of sin. Do you ever feel it? Is that ever your burden? We have heard about the debt of sin. Has that ever become your debt, young and old? We have heard also about the pollution of sin. Have you ever felt something of the corruption, of the pollution that is living in your own heart? Oh, how great is sin. We are so blind to it by nature. But on the other hand, how much greater is the provision of the Lord for sin. And thus we have heard of that provision in the sin offering for the guilt, in the trespass offering for the debt, and in the red heifer offering for the pollution of sin. The Apostle Paul, he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That was his experience. And that is the experience of God's church in the Lord's time, in the day when the Lord is revealing something of himself, and especially of the sufferings of his only begotten Son. That didn't begin in the New Testament, but we have heard that has begun already in the Old Testament. That was for the hope and for the encouragement of those who did experience the awfulness of sin. Thus, children, you will remember the four kinds, the four major kinds of offerings. That was the sin offering and the trespass offering, and then also the whole burnt offering and the peace offering. We have heard thus far of the two main kinds, the sin offering and the trespass offering. And those two offerings, they are, we said, the non-sweet savor offerings. And why? Because Christ, he is viewed, he is pictured in those offerings by his Father as the bearer of sin. As when he was carrying the sin of his church, and that creature to whom sin is imputed, or that creature in whom is sin, that is not unto him a sweet savor. But now today, we want to hear, we want to consider for a little while the whole burnt offering. And that is now different, because that whole burnt offering, that is the first of these offerings that is relying upon a good relation. Thus, it is assuming that relation between God and the soul that has been restored. Thus, there were times when that relation was broken by sin, by the covenant people of the Lord. And then they were not permitted to offer a burnt offering in the first place. But before that burnt offering was offered, they had first to offer a sin offering. Thus, first, that sin that had to be expiated, that had to be forgiven, that had to be taken away. And after that sin was taken away, and then it was possible for the Lord to receive of their hands also at that whole burnt offering. Was there nothing in that whole burnt offering that was speaking about forgiveness? That was speaking about expiation? Yes, there was something. We hope to see that if all is well. But that was not what was coming in the foreground of that whole burnt offering. All the sacrifices in general, they were called in the Hebrew korban. Korban, that means a gift. When you give a gift, children, then you will give a gift out of your own goods, out of your own money. And now these korban, these sacrifices, all of them, they were gifts. They were gifts unto the Lord. How is that, young people? Do you also give gifts unto the Lord? Because we bring them also in God's house, not in the way of these sacrifices, but we bring our gifts. But how is it now when you begin to become a little older and you begin to make your own money in this world? Then are you also setting aside part of that which is your own, not which is only from your father and your mother, but that which is your very own, to give that back unto the Lord? We read of Araunah the Jebusite, when David was instructed to go to him to offer an offering unto the Lord, that Araunah, as a king, did offer to David the oxen and the instruments of wood, and that he would give everything to David that he may give an offering unto the Lord. And what did David say? He said that I will not offer unto the Lord of that which cost me nothing. Thus that gift, that korban, that is that which does cost us something, that we are taking of our own and that we give that unto the Lord. What was now the primary aspect of the burnt offering? So how was that burnt offering different from all of the other gifts, the other korban? Well, that burnt offering was an offering that was entirely consumed upon that altar. That means that there was no part, as the other offerings, there was no part of that offering which was consumed by the persons. There was no part of that offering that was eaten. The burnt offering that was a korban, that was a gift, but that was called in a special way olah. Olah. Olah means to ascend. That means it speaks, we would say, of a stairway, of steps. That animal that was ascending up in smoke. And that whole animal that was that now going up unto the Lord, it was surrendered by that man. And that whole animal that was given, as it were, unto the Lord. What did that signify? That signified dedication. Dedication. That is the dedication of myself. That is the dedication of my whole life. Because now it is the life of that animal that is being offered unto the Lord. That animal was given a life. That life has come from the Lord. And now that life of that animal that is given back unto the Lord. Thus, we would say that is the special gift that the Lord has given. In the creation, there are the inanimate things. There are the rocks, there are the stones, and all the things that are not alive. And then there is life. We have mentioned that a little while ago, and there seems to have been a little confusion from the way we have said that. That we have mentioned the soul of an animal. Boys and girls, you know that an animal, as we normally speak about a soul, an animal has no soul. However, in the Bible, actually in the original language, then it speaks about the soul of an animal. That is not in our King James Version, but in the original language, when you read that the Lord, he has created man, we read that he has created him a living soul. The word is nephesh. So the Lord, he has created Adam, and he has made him a living nephesh, a living soul. But when Adam went to name the animals, then we read the same word, that is, that he gave to every nephesh, that he gave to every living creature a name. Thus, that word actually soul in the original language that is being used for the life, that is not speaking about the soul over against the body, but it is being used for the life of that animal, and that is the same as the life of a man. Thus, we read, for example, when Jacob went down to Egypt, then there were 70 souls. That just means that there were 70 lives. And the Bible uses the same word for the lives of an animal that is over against that which is dead. The Lord has given it a life. And now in this whole burnt offering, the Lord, he is receiving from that offerer the life of this animal. Even the skins of that animal, they were not given back unto that offerer. Because then those skins of the whole burnt offering, they were for the priest. He received his revenue by them. But that means that that entire animal that was given unto the Lord, and that animal that had to be a domesticated animal, what does that mean? That means that that animal that was the fruit of the work of the hands of the people, they have fed that animal. They have raised that animal. Thus, it speaks about the dedication of the life. It speaks about the dedication of the entire being, all the labors of that man. That dedication that is required by the Lord. That man is reserved unto him in every aspect of his life. That offering, the burnt offering that was due unto the Lord every single morning and every single evening. That was what constituted what we read in the Bible is the morning and the evening sacrifice. Thus, that entire dedication, that entire consecration, that entire devotion that is being required by the Lord himself, is that then enough that it is outward in the way of a sacrifice? Well, you can understand that it is not. Why? Because those offerings, they did not begin in the wilderness. But we read of these offerings, they are beginning already long ago. We read that Noah has offered a burnt offering unto the Lord. Then we can read of Cain and Abel. And we know, boys and girls, that Cain's offering was not acceptable unto the Lord. Why not? Well, the Lord said to him, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Well, in what way did Cain not do well? That was in his heart. And that his heart, though he brought an outward offering, that heart that was not in the right place. Thus, what is the most important part, that is the the desire that is living in that heart. What does the Apostle Paul and James both say about Abraham? They say that Abraham offered his son Isaac upon the altar. Is that so, boys and girls? Did Abraham offer his son Isaac upon the altar? You say, that is a hard question. Because he did not actually offer him, did he? Because Isaac never died on that altar, did he? And he was never burnt upon that altar, was he? And yet, you say, in his heart, Abraham did it already. Thus, indeed, Paul and James may write that Abraham offered his son Isaac upon the altar. Why? Because he did it in his heart. And that is why David, in the Psalms, he says that the Lord, he desires not burnt sacrifice. That was in the Old Testament. When all those burnt sacrifices, they were still required of the children of Israel. But what does he say? Then it is not those burnt sacrifices in an outward way, but that the Lord, he desires that sacrifice of a contrite spirit, a broken and a contrite spirit, thou, O God, wilt not despise. And that was the only way wherein the sacrifices of the children of Israel were acceptable unto the Lord. How was it now with this burnt offering, that whole burnt offering? We read, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Thus the Lord, he is placing a demand upon the will. The Lord is not placing that demand in the first place upon the work of his hands to offer that animal, but the Lord, he is, before that offering is even brought, the Lord says that that offering that must come from the will of that man, that must come from the desire of that man, he must want to do it with all of his heart. Ananias and Sapphira, they did not give it with their will, with their desire. They had all together a different purpose. Thus, congregation, how is it with our offerings? Do we give them as an Ananias and a Sapphira? Or do we give them of what we read here, our own voluntary will? That is in the first place. And secondly, then we read that that animal, that must be of the very best, that had to be a male, and that had to be a male that was without blemish. That means it had to be, as it were, the very strongest of his flock. That had to have no blemish in it. That had to be of the greatest energy of his flock. The best one. That follows naturally, of course, when a man does it of his own voluntary will. Then we read that he shall put his hand upon the head of that burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And now we have heard about the meaning already, right, children? They had to put their hand on the head of that offering. And what did that mean? Well, when they pushed down on that head, well, then that signified the transferring, the imputation of all their sin onto that animal. Was that with the burnt sacrifice also? Something. But that was not now here with this sacrifice in the foreground. Because in the foreground with the burnt offering is something else. In the foreground with the burnt offering is the desire of that offerer. That is the desire of that offerer that he may devote himself. That he may give himself. All his life, all his substance, all his labor, that he may give that unto the Lord. We don't read of a prayer, but actually the sacrifice itself is in itself a prayer. Thus, when those hands, they were laid upon the head of that sacrifice, then there was an expression of that person, that everything, his whole life, may be consecrated, may be dedicated unto the Lord. The sacrifice was slain by the offerer. That blood that was sprinkled round about upon that altar by the priest. Then it was flayed. All the pieces had to be laid in order on that altar, and that was completely burnt. What does that signify now? The burning of that animal. Well, we heard in the first place the demand of the Lord. The demand of the Lord that a man, he is dedicating, that he is consecrating himself, his whole life unto the Lord. That is a self-surrender. That people, the people of the Lord, that they put away the desires of the flesh. And that the desires of the old man, that they would die. That signified in the second place not only the demand of the Lord, but also the desire of that offerer. That he may comply with that which was required of the Lord. Because as individuals, these were actually free will offerings. But in the third place, just the presentation of that animal that was for that man a testimony of his inability. That he was not able to do the desire of his heart, that he could not, that he fell so short in that requirement of complete devotion of the whole life unto God. Thus, a testimony of his inability, a testimony of his deep fall. In the fourth place, that death of that animal, that was a testimony from the side of the Lord. That the Lord says, you may now, when you are not able, you may now bring me this perfect animal, and you may lay that before me by way of sacrifice. Thus the Lord says, I, in the future, am going to provide one that is able to take your place in this my demand and also in this your desire. And not only will I provide him, but I'm going to receive him. Because this sacrifice that is going to be to me a sweet savor. That brings us to our second thought, that is the antitype. And what do we read? Paul says to the Ephesians, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and had given himself for us for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So, boys and girls, now you know what that means, right? When you will read that in the Bible, in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul, and he speaks about the offering that is to be a sweet savor unto the Lord. You will say that is not the sin, that is not the trespass, that is speaking then about the sweet savor offerings, that is speaking about actually the whole burnt offering. Given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That was a sweet-smelling savor unto God. And why? Because the Lord, he does not therein see his son as carrying that guilt and that pollution. But he sees his son in the perfections of his devotion. His devotion unto God. That he was completely and perfectly dedicated unto the will of God. And that is to him a sweet-smelling savor. What does he say? He says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And where do we find in the word of God spoken of then that complete devotion of that son of God unto his father? That does not begin in the time. That begins already in eternity. That begins already in the Council of Peace. That begins already between the three persons of that Holy Trinity. If Christ would suffer, then what did he have to leave? You say then he had to leave his glory. Place where he was with his father, who then can fathom that way of self-denial that he has gone in leaving that blessed place of his glory, that he may come to suffer in this world. And that was not only to take on the human nature, but that was to take on that human nature as it had become under the consequences of sin. What is greater, congregation, than the glory of God unto himself? That is the very purpose of everything. But now Christ, he would hide the glory. He would even hide that divinity behind the veil of his humanity in coming upon this world. And we see that dedication in his willingness. What does Paul say? He says, who hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God. Thus, in eternity already, then he has done as we read Isaiah, when the Lord says, who will go for us? Then he has answered, here am I. Send me. Thus, in that whole burnt offering, the idea of the penalty that is there, but that idea that is in the background, there is something else that is in the foreground. That is the love. That is the desire. And because of that love, because of that desire for that perfect devotion, that was a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Why? Because that speaks about the restitution of that original purpose that God has created all things, that he may receive all the honor and all the glory from his creatures. The dedication of Christ, that was not only in eternity, but that was revealed in the time, in his actual coming upon this world, in his being born of a woman, in the fact that he came, we read, in the form of a servant. What does a servant do, boys and girls? A servant, he serves his master. He does not do his own will. He does the will of his master. And thus, when the Lord Jesus came, he came in the form of a servant. And then he has hidden his kingship. And he came as one who would serve his Father. He came bowing under the yoke of servanthood, placing himself under the law. But he was the maker of the law. He was the giver of the law. He did not come to do his own will, but he came to do perfectly the will of his Father. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, he says, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. When did that begin? When he was old, children? No. When he was young, 12 years old, then we can read it already. And then he said to his mother, wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? All boys and girls, are there little boys and are there little girls also in our midst that are also about that same business? That was when he was young already. Later on, then we hear him speaking again. That he says unto the Pharisees, I came not to do mine own will, but I came to do the will of him that sent me. And that he says, I do not seek my own glory. You dishonor me. But he says, I honor my Father. That is what I came to do. And that was evident in every aspect of the keeping of that law of God. But just how far did that go? Well, what does Paul say? Who had given himself. And every sacrifice that had to come out of where? That had to come out of that people's own goods. That had to come out of their own flock. That had to come out of their own herd. And what did Christ do? Oh, he gave himself. Thus we have the highest possible gift that a man can give. There could be no greater. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Thus, the dedication, the consecration, that was not only in his active obedience, but that extended also unto his passive obedience, that began already in his birth, in the poverty, that he became a fugitive, and what he has suffered when he was still young. But then we can read not only of the suffering in every aspect of the consequences of sin, but then we read toward the end of his life that suffering that has reached a climax. And now what do we read? We read when it came to pass in that time, then he knew that he should be delivered up. We read that he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. Why? That was a testimony of that devotion, of that dedication that was living in his heart. And that devotion that has remained to sustain him even unto the very end, that is, to the very end of his own life. He knew what lay before him. But what do we read? We read, the Lord has opened mine ear. We read, it says, I was not rebellious. I turned not back. What does that mean? The Lord has opened my ear. That means, that refers to a custom of that Jewish people to bore the ear lobe of the slave to the door. When that slave said that I do not want to leave my master, that I am dedicated to my master, that I want to remain with him forever, then they put a hole in his ear. And that went with the awl through the ear right to the door, which means that he would never turn away back. And so now that is said of the blessed Son of God. My soul is sorrowful, he said, even unto death. And when that human nature that is recoiling against that suffering in the end, then what does he say? He says, not my will, but thine be done. And so we see him going to meet the enemy. And when he has suffered in that garden, and then he knew that time was at hand, and that company of soldiers is coming, and then what do we read? Jesus, knowing therefore all things that should come upon him, went forth. He went forth. He did not run away, boys and girls. But he went toward the enemy. And then he said to them, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. I am he. That was a devotion to the very end unto his Father. And therefore we hear him saying unto Peter, put up now thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And so we see him going, congregation, going forth even to give himself that he might come upon that cursed tree. And why? Oh, that he may be the fulfillment of that whole burnt offering. So completely devoted and dedicated unto the will of his Father, that he was that morning burnt offering when he was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning, the time of that morning burnt offering, and the evening burnt offering, when he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost 6 hours later at the time of the evening burnt offering. And therefore, thereby he became that substitute. As we read, he said unto that enemy, he said, if therefore ye seek me, then let these go their way. Then let these go their way. Oh, that blessed type, so that that church congregation, they shall never come there. They shall never come there because of this substitute. But are we now one of them? Let us sing. 313, 1, 3, 4, and 5. What shall I render to the Lord? What shall my offering be? For all the gracious benefits he has bestowed on me. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 313. The whole burnt offering congregation was an offering that was brought out of love. That was an offering that was brought out of desire. That was a desire that I may devote myself, my whole being, my whole life, body and soul together, that may all be for the Lord. Do you also have such a desire? Dedication. What is that? We read that the firstborn in the land of Egypt, they were dedicated. The firstborn of Israel, they were the Lord's. All that opened the matrix. Why? Because they had been spared. The Lord had slain all the firstborn of the land of Egypt. And now the Lord says, all the firstborn of the land of Israel, they are mine. Later on, they were redeemed. And the Lord has taken for the firstborn the Levites. We read of the first fruits of all their labors. They were also dedicated unto the Lord. The tithes, they were dedicated, consecrated for the Lord, His use. We can read the tabernacle with all the furniture after that was all made. That was also dedicated unto the Lord. That was for Him. So there was also later on with the temple of the Lord, Solomon's temple. Read about the wall of Jerusalem, all dedicated unto the Lord. Are there those? And we speak about dedication and devotion. Are there those whose hearts, they become warm? They become warm. The Bible speaks about hearts that burn within us. Is that also then in the heart of some here? Because, congregation, if the Lord will convert us, then this is what becomes our desire. And then it can be that even the girls, they want to become a minister. That is not possible. But maybe that is, boys and girls. Sometimes when the Lord converts a boy or a girl, then they think, then one day, maybe I can be a minister. Why? Because then there is so much love that they have a desire that they would not live for the world anymore. Then they say, if I could be a minister, then my whole life, that is for the Lord. That is what they want. But of course, then we also need a calling to be a minister. And that is something different. But then that desire for that devotion is living in their heart. Do you know what they experience? That's the way I was created. That's what I was made for when the Lord made me, and that my whole life, and that would be for Him. And you know what else they experience? That it is not that way anymore. No, but that I am addicted to sin and to vanity and to worldliness. And this is now what is the grief of the heart of such a converted person. What do you think will happen? Then they try to change it. They try to change it. And they say that I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. That I will walk in my house with a perfect heart. Did you ever try to change it? How many? With such a desire, have tried to change it. But what is then their experience? What has to be lived out? Then they find out that they cannot change it. Oh, yes, they can change many outward things, and they do. And they do. Then that walk is not the same as it was before. But congregation, then the grief and the sorrow that I cannot change that most important part, that I cannot change my heart, that I cannot change that corrupt will. Indeed, there is a desire. Oh, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, David said. But now that desire to experience that is something that I am not able to fulfill, because with it remains all that evil desire and all that vain desire. That is their struggle. That is the struggle, that is the warfare, which is actually a distinguishing mark of the life of God's children. No, then I do not speak about the conscience that is telling you that your life is wrong, because that we all have, or I hope we still all have it, young people, that we have not stepped on it so many times that it does not speak to us anymore. That is possible. So be careful about stepping on your conscience. But we do not speak about this, because that is not the warfare that is living in the heart of God's people. There is a different warfare. And that warfare is on account of that new desire. That new desire to devote my whole life unto the Lord, that does not live in an unregenerated person. The love for the Lord. But that is now a warfare, because there also remains an old man. And that old love that is still living in the heart of God's children. Thus, the responsibility, that is no burden for them. That becomes their desire. But now the ability. The ability is something else. Is it not, congregation, just for this people that the Lord has made a great provision? A great provision. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No, it is not enough that Christ died. But it must be that Christ died for us. How do we know that? Well, congregation, a man, he has to die to himself. He has to die to himself that there may come room for this sacrifice, for this whole burnt offering. Because with that offering there is a confession. A confession of the desire, yes. But also a confession of the inability. Of the inability. And a confession of the need for that perfection that is not found in me, but that perfection of devotion that can only be found in another. We heard something of him, so perfectly dedicated unto his Father, without blemish, offering himself as a substitute for whom? For those who come short. For those who come short of this congregation to the grief of their soul in every way. Oh, and he is for them so satisfying unto his Father. A sweet savor, we read, unto the Lord. Oh, how does then that offerer, who is short in everything, become acceptable unto the Father? Oh, that is by receiving that promise of the Father, by a true and living faith. Oh, faith in that great need, that is receiving the promise of the Lord. It believes by the strength of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. It relies, it rests in him. And that is a rest outside of their own perfections. They can never reach it. Never. No, not in this life. It will be a church militant to the end of their life. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. But there is a morning, oh, wretched man that I am. But soon it is going to be different for those mourners. Because John saw them. He saw them before the throne of God. And what were they doing? People of the Lord. Oh, he saw them serving. Serving God. Day and night in his temple. No discrepancy between the heart and the deed. Nothing vain. Nothing carnal, nothing hypocritical, but they're made like unto him who was so perfectly devoted in every way unto his Father. I know God's children, that most of them, they do not dare to say that they will come there because they lack that assurance, but oh, they have in their hearts an upright desire for this perfection. And that is now distinguishing them, congregation, from the hypocrite, and God is their witness. Although they come short also in that desire, yet it is planted in their heart by the Lord. And when that warfare here is done, there will be no more backsliding in the life of that people. No, forever. And with the joy of their heart, then they are going to be able to do what the desire of their heart is by beginnings here below. Oh, in perfect obedience to him who says, my son, give me thine heart, oh, perfectly, perfectly united unto the blessed will of God forever and forever to serve him day and night in his temple. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest our hearts, and by nature there is no such desire, no such longing, because we are so addicted to our way that we have chosen in Adam. And then it is away from thee, and we are devoted to a vain life. And we are devoted to seeking after riches in this world. Oh, how we need to be converted. How that must be an irresistible work, most powerful, irresistible. Look upon us, each and every one, and wilt thou send us home in this morning, could it be, and with a blessing from on high, and that our thought and meditation may be upon thee, and that our sin may be opened up unto us, that we may be brought into our inner chamber to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Wilt thou bring us with desire in thy house again, further in this afternoon hour? Help him that will go before us. Forgive and keep us from all sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. 428, 5 and 6. Oh, teach me, Lord, the way that I should go, and then shall thy servant walk therein forever. Give understanding all thy paths to know, then shall I keep thy law with zealous fervor. And what follows in 5 and 6 of 428. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.